Let's remember the people that we have been in prayer for. Also, I'd like to call your attention to the fact we need some teachers. A couple of things in regard to time. The first Sunday will be June the 2nd. So we have 2 June, and this is Sunday. That evening at 6 o'clock, we will have our communion service, communion fellowship together afterwards. So please plan on bringing something. And then on Monday, that will be 3 June through Friday. Let's see, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, is the 7th of June. Rob Becker will be here. And as I told you last night, what Becker's going to study, I don't know. And that always leaves it up for almost anything. So please bear that in mind. And then we will come, Sunday will be business as usual. Now, Sunday the 2nd, you get to appreciate, again, you get to appreciate James Webb, because James and Patty will not be here. So I'm going to be the director, and but then we'll be back on the 9th. I heard that laughter. Appreciate his being here. No, appreciate his being here. The 26th is when you won't be here. Oh, so you'll be here on this one. Oh, good. Okay, scratch it. Just coming Sunday. That's not on the board. Good, okay. So that Sunday, but this Sunday we're back to normal. Then the 9th, that's going to be cool. Then on the, let's see, that'll be the 10th, Monday the 10th, all that week, I'm going to be speaking in California, and I want you to be in prayer. It is so important. Paul asked many times for prayer and boldness in presenting the truth. And I'm going to need your prayers for these people. And let's, before you leave, let me, a few minutes afterwards, if I can. So please be in prayer for them. Be in prayer for myself. I'll speak with boldness and clarity. Things went really well the last time I met with them. However, on Tuesday and Wednesday, that's the 11th and 12th, Philip McMillan, who you heard last night, is going to further teach on missions and different things. So those two nights he will speak, so please bear that in mind. And then we will be back to normal procedure. And so please bear those things in mind. We need teachers, so please be in prayer about that. If we're going to have children, we're going to have to teach the little people. This is the heart of everything. I talked to a lady, mother up in Illinois. Had a group of young people over, 13, 14-year-olds. And she said, I think it was out of 10, 8 of them did not believe that this Bible had anything to do with truth and being of God, and that salvation was not through Jesus Christ, and they would be saved if they just lived well. Live a good life. It's so important. We're just becoming, we're moving further and way away from truth in our society. And truth being that's the gospel. And we're moving further and further away from truth. And it is so important that we teach, at least the ones that we're given responsibility, that we teach them truth. I can't think of a greater opportunity for you people than to teach the mind that will be functioning more than likely when you and I are gone. And it's teaching these children. So it's so important in doing that. And please let me know, or Leah Cox, and we'll get you lined up and help you with material and all these kinds of things. Just to let you know on your prayer, I'm going to be adding a class. I've already decided. What we're going to study in the class is we're going to study as to when, I'm working on that right now, but what we're going to study is a lot of things related to understanding the whole picture of what is going on. We're going to go back and we're going to study Genesis 1 and put that into perspective, and then study some other passages that deal with creation in Ephesians, Colossians, all these passages over and over. Keep going back to creation. We're going to study why and restoration, the whole battle here. And we're going to study some of Job and Revelation, get into things that are the way things are lining up for the end of time after the rapture of the church. And so this is going to be I don't know what I'm going to call it, but just a roam through a lot of things type of class that I think you're going to really enjoy when we get moving in it. So that's just something that's coming up. When I start that, I'm shooting for sometime in July, but we'll just have to see how that lines up. I'm sorry? Yeah, I'm going to have a new class. I hope to start sometime in July. Yeah, no, it'll either be Monday or Thursday. It'll either be Sunday, Monday, or Thursday. I'm aiming not Sunday because we already have some eating together, fellowship together on Sunday. So I'm looking at Monday or Thursday. Okay. Let's prepare ourselves for a study. Open the Bibles to Ephesians with me a moment. Open to Ephesians. I want you to see a couple of things getting ready for tonight. People, I'm not saying this as a pastor who pastors and tend to exaggerate. I don't know of anything more important than spiritual love, than loving as Christ loved. It's related so directly to the spiritual warfare. Look at Ephesians 3 as we move into our study. Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 10. In order that all these things about what's going on in for you and for me in understanding the mystery and the teaching, in order that the manifold wisdom of God. Now, I want to stop here. Let's pray. I want you to see even the introduction to why we pray is where I was aiming at, but what we're just entering into battle. What we're studying when we study spiritual love is what Satan does not want us to understand. He simply does not want us to understand spiritual love, much less tap into it. And I think as we move into the 21st century, it's just going to be extremely valuable to all of us to understand and to access spiritual love and have it flowing 24 hours a day in it. So we're entering in the battle. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we now move into the sacred scriptures, we pray that God the Holy Spirit will illuminate, reveal to us these truths, that Heavenly Father, we might know and understand you, why we're here, what we're about. We pray that you will protect us from the powers of darkness, who would seek to impede our understanding, interrupt it, distract our understanding, our learning of these truths. And to this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name, amen. Verse 10, in order that, so this is why all these things are going to come about, in order that. Verse 9, to bring to light what is the ministration of the mystery, which for ages past, the previous dispensation, has been hidden in God, who created all things. There you go with that creation again. And you'll find that word. I'm going to go start a new class. I'm just going to show you why that's so important. Who created all things. I want you to start becoming sharp when you read Scripture on your own and you see phrases like that. Don't skip over them. Ask yourself, stop and say, why is that here? Why is the expression, who created all things, here? What's the significance? This isn't just beautiful rhetoric. The Holy Spirit is saying things to us. So, who created all things in order that the manifold wisdom. Now, here is the purpose. God's purpose. The manifold wisdom of God might now be made known. Now, be made clear. You, at least you sitting here, be made known through the church to each other. No. To the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. How much more direct do you want in understanding how important your life is and the short time we have here? Now, what we need to do, I did something Monday night for the sermon group that I really haven't gone through. I hadn't thought about it. One of the people here said, well, you've never even said that, and I guess I haven't. If we go back to the first universe here, here's the first universe, that the battle in the first universe between God and Satan, this battle was over power. Power. Who's the more powerful? The last battle is going to be power. Again. But in between this first battle of the previous, of the past universe, and the last battle related to human history, there's a battle here. We'll call it the second one. Let me tell you about the second one. It's about wisdom. It's not about power. It's about wisdom. Knowing, understanding what's going on. It's about this wisdom. And that's why so many things are hidden. Hidden. They were hidden in the Old Testament. They were hidden in Christ's time in the parables. Why do you write in parables? Do y'all know why he wrote in parables? I'm asking you. I'm sorry? To conceal. Not to make it very simple and plain. We studied this in Matthew 13 and 14. He spoke in parables to conceal against the enemy. Hide it. And in the epistles to the church, the truth is hidden. Hidden. To be revealed. What is all of this about? It's there and it's hidden. Thou who speaks in secret, thou who dost not speak in secret, Isaiah. Parables hidden, revealed. The eye that will see it, it's there and it's hidden. But it's hidden to those who won't. What is all of this about? It's this little thread that's going on in the book. What's all that about? It's about this. It's about wisdom. What's going on between the great battle between our God and His greatest creation, of Satan, Lucifer, between Satan. So here is power. Here's going to be power. Right now, where you and I are, boom, this is the battle. Wisdom. And this is where you and I come into this whole thing. Wisdom. If you just sat down and read the epistles, you're going to see over and over and over, going to come back, understanding, knowing, wisdom, truth, what's going on. Then we jump down in this, in Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. And that's not just an expression. This is what he did. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing make it great. But he bowed his knees, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. People, where does that come from? In heaven, every family in heaven and on earth. There's so much here going. That he, God, would grant you, believers in the church age, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit. All right? It's power by the power of the Holy Spirit in the inner man, the new man. So that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. Your faith, Holy Spirit, boom, Christ takes up residence in your heart and your soul. And that you, being rooted and grounded in what? Being rooted? Now remember, this is what we're dealing with. First of all, we're dealing with a great battle that's going on in the heavens. What is the heavens? The invisible realm. Invisible spiritual realm that we can't see. We know it's there only by faith. We can't see it. So this is what's going on up here. The battle is dealing with wisdom. But look what he's doing. He's praying in regard to us. He says that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted. You know what that word means? I have to be a Greek expert, rooted and grounded in spiritual love. This is what we're to be rooted and grounded in. This is what you and I are going to, this is the foundation of understanding this. Alright. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend, there's that concept again, of learning, seeing, understanding, knowing, comprehending, with all the saints, all of in the assembly, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ. To know the length, width, height, and depth of this love, and to know the love of Christ. Now, this is the love of Christ. This is what spiritual love is. Loving is Christ's love. To love it, you've got to love as he loves. You've got to know it. And then he says, with all the things, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. Remember your context. Battle over wisdom. People, here's the deal. God, Satan, and bring man into the picture. Perfect harmony. Satan comes in and breaks the harmony. That brought about by sin. That results in death. Now man's under Satan's kingdom. Look at all three points of the triangle. One, man is alienated from the righteousness and the justice of God. He is spiritually dead. He has a sin, no sin nature, which yields, produces personal sin, and now that's going to have to be taken care of. He's already dead, and now he's producing sins, and those are going to have to be paid for. And three is in Satan's kingdom. Now, a love that defies understanding to the wisdom of the world. Here's Satan. No way, God, can you take man out of my kingdom of darkness. Cannot be done. No one can do this. One, you are a holy God. They are dead, they sin. You can't do a thing about it. I've got you. Here is your righteousness, justice, law. You've got to do it. I've got this all figured out. And I'm going to make you stand on that law. It's one thing you cannot comprehend. And I know, I say that sometimes, but I want you to see it from God. Satan simply cannot understand it. It cannot comprehend a love that would send a son to die on a cross for a man in this condition. a love that would satisfy his holiness, a love that would redeem man out of the slave market of sin, a love that would give life to that which is dead, a love that would rescue man out of Satan's kingdom. People, this love defies the understanding of man. I want you to appreciate the fact, if you love as Christ loved, the world is going to laugh at you. No one is going to laugh at you if you live here. Righteousness and justice. The world can understand that. They may not like it, but they can understand it. But they cannot understand the love that will send his son to die on a cross so that man just walks away. Cannot understand it. And if you do love in the most difficult of circumstances, you will be laughed at. You will be told a lot of things. And you were, and I'm talking about you here in this church that's gone through the battle, cannot understand the world, and I'm talking Christians included, cannot understand this kind of love. No, that is foolishness. To say that love does that is foolishness. And you will be called a fool. As you love like Christ loved, especially when that love is tested in so many different ways. Be ready for it. It defies comprehension and understanding of the genius of Satan. The wisdom of man can never comprehend this love. The wisdom of believers can't comprehend it. It is beyond understanding. So, to know the love of Christ, which the path is knowledge, that you may be filled that. Now, you have this love, and if you have the love, look what it says. You have the love that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. People, if you do this love, I want to show you what happens in your life experientially. What happens in your life experientially is the same thing that happened right here at the cross. You will, one, please God in all that you do. You will please His holiness. Two, you will conquer personal sin. You cannot do spiritual love and do wrong. And three, you will ward off the power of Satan as far as your life is concerned. The same thing that happened right here and in this triangle happens moment by moment in your life when you do love. So this is what we're dealing with. This is the power. This is the force. This is the beginning of the understanding of this whole wisdom battle. This understanding, force of this love. Okay, let's note a few things. I'm not doing this exactly like we did several years ago. We have faith on that. I'm trying to pull us, and we're going to get back to where we left off, but I'm just pulling up things so our minds are sharp and we're together with each other. You bet. Yes. Yes. Yeah, it is. No, not us. It is a love that Satan and man cannot comprehend. They cannot understand this love. A love, the love that God sent His Son to die on a cross. We, by the power of God, third member of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit, know this love, have it flowing through us. And that's why we stand there. We stand fast in the spiritual love, no matter what the world does, and let the Holy Spirit continue to pour this through because we do know its power. He doesn't understand it. He can't duplicate it. The world can't understand it. Foolishness to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it's foolishness to them, this type of love. No, we do through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's the whole thing of the wisdom and seeing and the hidden and the revealed. It is revealed to those who will allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate it and reveal it to them. Look at Colossians chapter 1 with me. I know so often you go to 1 Corinthians 2 and you think that may be the only one. Let me just show you something here in Colossians real quick. Colossians 1, if I can put my finger right on it. And let's see. If I can, I'm not going to spend much time on this. These are just things that I have been noting. And let's see. Fellow things. Age. Let's see here, 13. No, I'm dealing with, looking for the, there's the word illuminate and revelation right together. And, if I can't find it, I'm not gonna go on and do it. Okay, I can't find it right offhand, but, the revelation and the illumination is done by, God the Holy Spirit. Let me see one thing here. If I can find it quickly, it'll be worth our time. Okay, I'm not finding it, and I'll find it and bring it back to you. David Smith, just read Colossians 1 and see if you find the word revelation. And it'll be at the first part of a second verse, and the prior verse will be illuminating. Okay, so this James is the revealing of it. Now, what I want to do next is I want to note some things about point one. There are three categories of love on earth. You know, I have pastor friends that want to have a different word. They want to have a different word for spiritual love. You know, just any word. Agape is they feel is being even no real. You know, just when you come to it, go blah. So that nobody has any kind of a watering down of it. I don't want to. Because I want people to see the three categories of love on planet Earth. One is divine. Divine love. The second, from a creature on Earth, is human love. And then a third, from another creature on planet Earth, is spiritual love. This one comes from the members of the Godhead. And this one comes from all the members of the human race. This one comes from the new spiritual creation. The new spiritual creation. So we have three loves. Now, what we've got to realize is, and I like this, is there's some common things. There are people in divine love, human love, and in spiritual love. And we don't want to lose those common things that are going on. Okay, so we have, first of all, there is divine love. Now, just real quickly, let's just talk. Not a prolonged doctrine. Yes. Colossians 1. Let's see. That is the mystery which is hidden in it now has been manifested to the saints, to make known. Well, what I'm looking for is the word, it actually has the word revelation in it. I don't think, what does the NIV say? I don't think so. No. So it may be Ephesians 1. But anyway, I'll find it, come back to it. I'm sorry? Chapter 2. That's made in Christ having been knit together. Colossians 2? Knit together? No. It isn't there. Don't worry about it. Stay with me here. Just a few things. I'm not going to spend a long time here with a lot of points. God is love. You know, there aren't very many essence of God that says God is this. Now, we know that God has all of the attributes and many more than what are given in the Bible. Don't ever think you can define God. Anytime you think you have defined God, let's say I've got a whole long definition of God. I haven't begun to understand him. The moment you define God, here's God defined. The moment you think you've defined God, people, you've limited God. He now must stay within the confines of this definition. And let me tell you something about your God. He loves. He enjoys playing havoc with our definition. This is the whole, one of the whole things of the book of Job. I know God. You bless those who are good and you curse those who are bad. Got you, God. I know you. 42 chapters. Job has to back up and say, whoa. Whoa. You're God. You do whatever you want to do. Now you're beginning to know God. But the moment you think you've defined him, you could, you know, a definition confines him. This is why ladies always get offended, gentlemen, when you say, I know and understand women. You want to make a woman mad? Just try that. Boy, she'll turn circles on you. Just to prove you don't. I mean, you know, tough enough as it is, don't add for more trouble. But don't do that with God. I know God. Here's the fine. And the first thing you're going to do, he's going to step out of that definition. And you're going to go, no, no, you can't do that. Because now you're unfair. Now you're wrong, and I'm right, and I'm enough. You have all kinds of trouble. Just leave it. Just leave it out here. I understand him to out here. Beyond that, he's God. And he's going to do whatever he's going to do. How old? We don't know. Got a whole new family. Got a whole new family. Old enough to have a family, old enough to have a whole new family. We don't know because people lived. When Job was alive, people lived, still were living 500-600 years. So I don't know. Okay. So we don't want to do that. But God is love. So, and there's many things I want to put together here for you. One, it's one of the few essences of God that just clearly says God is this. And I found another thing in the Old and New Testament. This is the only attribute of God that specifically mentioned, I will trust faith in his love. That's powerful. Do we trust in the other attributes of God? Absolutely. I'm not saying we don't. I'm pointing out to you, isn't it interesting that throughout Scripture, this is the only attribute that it alone is specified as an object of trust. Trust God, all these things, but here, trust his love. That is specifically worded that way, Old and New Testament. So these are things about his love that's going on. This is what defeated Satan, was his love. So we have a lot of things about the essence of divine love. Now, his love is infinite because God is infinite. It's God. God is infinite. His love is infinite. Another one. His love is immutable. God is immutable. And what does that mean? That means unchanging. Unchanging. So his love is immutable. His love is infinite as he is infinite. His love is immutable as he is immutable. His love is unchanging. Now, the way it comes down may change. That's that old story I heard in my Sunday school growing up as a little child. He's out the sun. What does the sun do? The same heat will melt some things, and what will it do? It will harden other things. See? It's the same sun. So you've got this love, as we ask, is infinite, it is immutable, unchanging, but it will have the different effects. So we have a lot to understand about the God's love. So it can't be improved. It's not going to be improved at any point. It's not going to be changed. And what does this do for us? This does for us a wonderful sense of stability in relationship to God's love, when we are good or bad. It's a wonderful thing that a child can learn about a parent. And every child will test his parent. Children will do that. Ladies will do that. Sometimes men will do that. The husbands and wives test it on purpose. Test that love. See if that love is changing or changeable. God's love is not. And there's a wonderful sense of stability in our relationship with God, a consistency in our relationship with God. And remember that both stability and consistency, now watch me, both stability stability and consistency. Consistency are very important. That's the word consistency. The ability and consistency are very important to love. Very important. Human love or divine love. The stability and the consistency are important in this area. Now watch. Concentrate with me. Stability, consistency, important to love. Now many people say that. And it is true in the human realm. I want you to see spiritual love that defies understanding. It is true of the second category of love that exists on earth, human love, that the consistency and the stability of human love depends on the person. It depends on the person. And that's very important. And this is where a lot of people transfer this over to spiritual love. But the stability and consistency of love depends on the integrity of the person. This is true of human love, but people, this is not true of spiritual love. This is not true of spiritual love. It is the nature. I'm sorry? Yes. The human love depends on the person being, having integrity. His person. Human love depends on the person. If you have a weak person, their love will generally be weak. I'm sorry? Person loving. Depends on the person or the integrity of the person doing the loving. Here's the person, out comes his love. The consistency, and I'll just put C and S. The consistency and stability of his love depends on his own integrity. That's true of human love, but people, that's not true of spiritual love. It is the nature, now watch. It is the nature of spiritual love to give to a person stability and consistency of love. That's what spiritual love gives you. It is the nature of this love itself that makes it so special. It is the nature of this love. It is the nature of spiritual love to give a person stability and consistency. Stability and consistency comes from spiritual love. It comes from the power that here you are. And the power of God, the Holy Spirit, is pouring this love that is immutable, stable, consistent, and it pours it through you. This love gives to you stability and consistency. This is what it does. So as we trust the Holy Spirit, spiritual love comes through. The spiritual love is stable and consistent. This is the nature, people, this is the nature of this love. It is the nature of this love to be stable and consistent. Any questions on that? Don't walk out of here not agreeing. If you did, let's talk. Yeah. No, it is. It is stability. It is consistent. And when it flows through a person, through a believer, then that believer takes on stability and consistency of spiritual love. Yes. To the object out here? Oh, boy. See, that's where we're headed. This is what we call this, in one place, timing. Love is timed. So what's going to come out, and this kindness, as long as we walk by faith, and that's why it's so important, the persistency of what? Faith. Persistency of faith. Because if you are persistent in faith, you have this consistent, persistent love, stable love flowing through. And the object of your love, another believer, maybe that's hurt you, husband, wife, someone in a local church, whatever, is just the stability and consistency of kindness. People, this is why I said, love is one of the first things that you can know, I'm walking in the flesh. This is one of your first big barometers. I know I'm walking in the flesh because I don't have the spiritual love, kindness toward this person. What this person gets, what's flowing through me. When I'm wishy-washy, When I'm all these things, I know I'm not in the stability of the Holy Spirit pouring this love, because this love is stable, this love is consistent all the time. And so when this isn't flowing through me, I know, wow, I'm not right. I'm not in the light. This, I don't have the water of this love, the living water of this love flowing through me. See? 117? We can give up, all right?
So God's love is consistent based on sin.
Based what?
Based on sin.
Of love.
Of His love.
No, that's what I'm trying to say. It is the nature. It is the nature of love to be long-suffering, kind, bear all things, not act unbecoming, not be arrogant. That is the nature of this love that defies understanding. No, those are what love is. You know what the Greek says in 1 Corinthians 13, which we're getting ready to move into. What it says is that love, spiritual love, agape, is. Love is. Not me, the believer. This is, love is long-suffering. Love is kind. Love is not arrogant. All these things. That's the nature of love. That's what love is. As demonstrated not only in 1 Corinthians 13, but many other places that we're going to look at. It's the attribute of love. That's why it's so powerful in this conflict. That's why it defies Satan. He can't grasp it. How can God use a believer when they sin? He rushes up there and says, look, that believer sins. You can't do anything about it. Christ stands up and says, no, they're mine. This is what His love did. And all the things, and that's only 16 in 1 Corinthians 13. People, I want to get back to where we left off, and then I just want to keep adding to the list of all the things that love is. That flow through us when we allow God the Holy Spirit to let this love flow through. This is why this love defeated Satan at the cross. Satisfied God. It's the nature of love. This is what we have to get down. What is the nature of this love? Human love depends on the character and integrity of the person. But spiritual love is what God is love. This is the nature of this spiritual love. All the things that it will do. All the time. Yes. Yes.
And it's totally God.
Yes. And the flesh comes in.
So it's kind of like it's the best for the reason only that God in it.
Okay. What you're dealing with there, Bruce, what you're dealing with there is what I want to cover next week. No, Bruce, I want to answer your question. Watch, Bruce, I want you to see. This spiritual love is a spiritual force. And one of the properties, a force has three properties. This is why we're not saved by love, we're saved by faith. Faith is passive. If we were saved by loving God, it would be something that would come from us, be a force. We're saved by faith, which is passive, we receive from God. Okay. Being a spiritual force, it has one, it has direction. Love always has direction. Two, it has magnitude. And there's your question, Bruce. Magnitude is the measurability of love. And yes, it can be increased and it can be increased. And we'll study how. How do you increase the magnitude of your love? Okay? But this is the magnitude of it. No greater love hath any man. You must love me more than. Those are magnitude words. Okay. Three, it has impact or effect. This is what love will do. Okay. Yeah, that was it. Ephesians what? Going all the way back to the Holy Spirit revealing these things. The wisdom and of revelation. People, you don't learn about love by your human wisdom, your human logic, learning more. If you learn more, and try to put it together in the flesh, you're going to be like the Pharisees who search the Scriptures and never come to Christ. It has to be revealed. It is revealed. Then in verse 18, I pray that your eyes of your heart may be what? Enlightened. These are words of the function of the Holy Spirit and my relationship with Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, my faith in Him. He then reveals the Word to me, the truth of the Word. He enlightens, He illuminates, He does these things from what we're studying. So we can understand this life. And He does that by that faith. Okay. So, this love now that we're talking about here, This spiritual love, I want you to understand what it does now. It is the nature. You can start thinking this way. It is the nature of spiritual love to be consistent, to be stable. Paul will say in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, if there is any comfort in love, it is the nature of love to give comfort. That's just another one we're going to add to it. All the things that love will do. That's why Paul says the goal of the Christian is love. All that it will do, we're studying the nature of spiritual love or the nature of God's love. The nature of this love that flows through us. Okay, gotta move on. Secondly, human love. This is a love that comes from the creature. Here we have divine love, now we have human love. Comes from the creature, humanity. And we all know about it. And it does depend on the integrity of the person. Therefore, it has a number of inherent problems because of the flesh. There are three categories, if you want to deal with that, so that we can talk in the realm of human love. There is phileo, or family love. And the thing about phileo or human family love, I have learned now a lot of people have stronger human love from the flesh, phileo love, than they will of spiritual love, which we'll come to. They will forgive and deal with a member of their own family, personal family, husband, wife, children, parents, whatever it may be, but let a Christian do something wrong and they're ready to judge, malign, and attack. Their human love, phileo, is stronger than the spiritual love. One of the problems is we fail to understand how close we are to each other. You are closer to someone in this room you don't even know than you are to a relative who is not a Christian. And that's difficult for us to, we can say it theologically. We can understand it theologically. But the reality, the experiential reality, forget it. Very few Christians can experientially come to that conclusion in their life and live it. You are closer to a African who is a Christian than you are to a family member who is not. And this must be our thinking. The whole thinking must change in this regard. How close we are to each other. And that's why spiritual love, phileo love, family love. Then what we have for just so that it can be talked about, there is romantic love, which we know about. Romantic love involves many aspects and many things about it. And then I call the third one value. Value love. Now, all of these have direction. Romantic love, soon, at some point in a person's life, if they're going to get married, becomes just in one direction. What happens is, as people go through life, it's multi-directional. I love you tonight, and I love you tonight, and I love you tonight, and I love you tomorrow night. Okay? Multi-directional. But once it starts getting serious, we want single direction. It has direction. Phileo love has a direction. You're my son, my father, my mother, my brother, my sister, my cousin, my whatever it may be. It has a direction. Phileo family has that direction. Value love has direction. All of these have magnitude. All of these have an impact or an effect of some type. If it's a very weak love, you're going to have, in other words, low magnitude, then you have little impact. But this value love, what does the word of the scripture say to us? Excuse me. It says, the love of money, the root of all evil. What is that? That's value love. Love is a force. So what we're saying there is, what the scripture is saying is, the force of the love directed toward money is the root of all evil. Because people, if you get the force of the direction toward money, you will not sense the force. See, force is a push and pull on two objects. And that's what love is. So if you have in this, the push and pull on you is present right here, you won't sense the push and pull of God's love working on you. To the degree that you're not aware of the push and pull of the love of God in your life, it's because there's another love acting against you and on you. Either your love for something or something's love for you pulling you away from it. It's like a husband and wife relationship. Here's a husband-wife relationship. I'm going to assume, for my illustration, that the woman loves this man. But he doesn't sense that love because he has got his direction somewhere else. Maybe another woman. It may be a job. It may be something else. Money. It could be the love of money. Whatever it is. So he is not aware. He doesn't sense the push-pull of her love on him. And the further he goes with this, the less, the weaker. The weaker this love, the force of this love has on him. It's weaker and weaker and weaker because this love gets stronger and stronger and stronger, whatever the direction is. I'm using money coming here. It doesn't have to be another woman. It can be a lot of things. But whatever it is that he loves, over here, it takes away here, and it soon, it just keeps going, and it gets weaker and weaker. Until finally, it may be no effect at all. So the closer we stay husband-wife love, the more we sense that the push-pull of that love. A man and a woman that spend their time together and enjoy each other sense the push and pull of the love, even when they're not together. This is why, people, we want to be in moment-by-moment faith in the Holy Spirit so that we what? We constantly sense the push and pull of God's love for me. Always. But if you get away from it, you have the love of money, and it starts pulling you away, the love of family, the love of a person, the love of something you're doing, the love of your own achievements in life, you move yourself away from sensing and feeling the effect of that push-pull love of God's love on you. So value love. And we could talk along that a multitude of verses. Multitude of verses to deal with value love. That's just the best way I've come up with it, with a word for it. My mother, we grew up, all us guys, and, all of us, we love food, okay. Man, we love this, love, you know, hamburgers. No, you don't. You love people, you don't love food. I mean, I just heard that 1,000 times growing up, maybe more. You don't love food, okay. Don't love it. I left it. No, you don't like food either. We have more fun with our minds. But this is what I'm talking about. Value. Geography. Some people just love a geographical location. Others function anywhere at any time. Other people, I love the mountains. I love the ocean. I love the desert. I love Texas. I love Minnesota. Whatever it is. It's a value love that we have. And so we have these three are human love working as far as a person is concerned. Now, a lot can be said about human love. I want to bring it to a conclusion and then just touch on the last one with this statement. Before God, this love has no value. None whatsoever. Directed toward Him, it has no value. You have to realize our righteousness is filthy rags before Him. Man's morality is filthy rags. Man's integrity is filthy rags. Man's love is filthy rags. It means nothing before God. Nothing. This is one of the hard things to communicate. But it's where I want you to move to that level. I want you to move to the spiritual dimension. Well, you can understand so many passages of Scripture, things related to this world, they just don't mean anything to God. People, let me tell you something. Because I used it sometime in illustration because it's so befitting. And I know some of you, right, when I say this, going to jump up and scream and holler. Just think with me. Relax. God doesn't care about laissez-faire capitalism or socialism. Just doesn't here. These come from the flesh. They are man's solution. Satan knows that. Satan does not care whether you are a capitalist or a socialist, as long as you think therein lies the answer. That's all he wants you to think. If he can get you to think in laissez faire capitalism or any kind of capitalism, any kind of socialism, communism, that therein is the answer, he's won. He's won. He's got you thinking and fighting in this realm. And where is this realm? This realm is in the earth. It's the cosmos. You're fighting in his cosmic system. God doesn't want us in this system. People, God doesn't care if Christians get the society cleaned up and get everybody to stop doing anything you think is wrong. If you think any smoking is wrong, any drinking is wrong, any wearing of animal clothing is wrong, I don't know what's going to be perceived, but any animal clothing is wrong, then just on and on and on, and you get the world to do all of that, it doesn't impress God. And that's what you have to start understanding. The spiritual kingdom is not of this world. It's not in eating and drinking. And Colossians is a wonderful study. It's not in all of the things of man, the traditions of man, the customs of man. It's not in the food and the festivals and all the things that are brought out in the law. It's not in all of these things. Just doesn't care. People want to say, you mean to tell me that it makes no difference to God whether a society is totally moral or immoral? People, no, it doesn't. If they're doing that in the flesh, it doesn't matter. A person who is walking morally in the flesh means nothing to God. And you must get your mind understanding. Get your mind into the spiritual realm that we're dealing with here. People today have a lot of problems finding a hero in sports, if you're into that kind of thing of having a hero, and kids are. You won't find a better one than Elijah Wan with the Houston Rockets. I dare you to find a better one, including Roger Staubach. This man does not smoke. This man does not drink. This man doesn't do a thing. This man is I don't think there's ever been one negative thing written about this man. He doesn't get mad on the court and lose his temper and start letting people have it. But he has inside of his house a temple to Allah. Inside of his very home. All of his morality is filthy rags. And I guess you know what that means. You know what filthy rags mean. Our righteousness. And I want that to sink in. Our love, our righteousness, our morality. All these things mean nothing to God. Whether it's coming from an unbeliever or a carnal believer. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether this unbeliever is moral or immoral. The carnal believer, moral or immoral. This isn't where God wants you. He wants you in his power system. He wants you in his love. He wants his power of his spirit flowing through you and this love flowing through you. This is the only thing that matters to God. Everything. And when you do this spiritual life, you will do no wrong. You will fulfill all the law. That's very clear. So we have to understand and appreciate what we're dealing with in our discussion. And then thirdly, there is spiritual love. Spiritual love. Spiritual love, which we're in the midst of studying, there's spiritual love. Comes from a new, where I get the word, spiritual love. It's no big deal. I'll tell you where I got it. We at this finished several years ago, more than you'll ever want to know about spiritual gifts. And then I moved in from 1 Corinthians 12. The Holy Spirit lined it up. I wish I could take credit for it. But just about the time we ended the spiritual gift studies in 1 Corinthians 12, I was in John 13. Well, you know, like John Hinn says, God's here is lucky. But it just both of those things came together when John 13:34, the new commandment. And I had to come up with something. I didn't have to, but something to distinguish it because everybody just spiritual love, spiritual gift. People understand it. Comes from a new spiritual creation. Comes from the power of God, the Holy Spirit. So it's a spiritual love. This is great. So it comes from a new spiritual creation. Comes from the power of God, the Holy Spirit. We are to love as Jesus Christ loved. Jesus Christ won. He could have loved from what? He could have loved from His deity. Had Christ loved from His deity, could any of us do that? No. We're not God. It would have been a useless, fruitless, totally ridiculous command. Totally absurd. Had Jesus Christ loved from His deity. Secondly, He could have loved from His perfect humanity. Now, could we have done this? Now, Jerry, let's just tell Jerry he's perfect, so he's going to have problems seeing this. But the deal is, we can't do that. We're not perfect. It would have been a foolish command again. We know we're not perfect. I couldn't have done it. He didn't choose His deity. He didn't choose His perfect humanity. Jesus Christ loved by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Pow! I can do that now. Bingo. There I am. Now I can love as He loved. Why? Because He, when He got to heaven, He sent me the same Spirit He had, and that same Spirit can flow that love through me. And now I can do it. I can have this love, this consistent, persistent, stable love flowing through me as long as I will walk by faith. He will pour this love through me. So this becomes so vital and so important in regard to our life. Now, my time has run out, and I want to finish this kind of pulling together a lot of things here. We spent a lot of time on them. I want to touch them. I want to touch them in this video. We have some new people that weren't here for it. Fresh all of our memories. Brought out some good things to me and then things that we've added to it. And just touch these kinds of things that we're going through. And get to 1 Corinthians 13 and move up to the fifth impact, which is where we left off. Love does not act unbecoming. But we'll work our way to there and see how these things come together. Any questions you might have, feel free to ask, and we'll work through this. Let's close in a word of prayer. Okay, Heavenly Father, when we were yet sinners, You demonstrated Your love in sending Your Son to die. I love, Heavenly Father, that broke the bonds and the chains of sin held us. A love that satisfied Your own essence, a love that broke Satan's back. And this same love can flow through us. It's boggling to the mind when we think of all that happened on the cross. The pleasing, the satisfying, the propitiating of Your essence. The defeat of Satan. Delivering us from sin. The power of this love. And to think, Father, we could have the same love even to the point that we would lay down our lives. And yet we can't have it if we're simply taken by faith. It is our purpose, Father, to understand the wisdom of this love. And even hearing the words still baffles Satan. Still can't understand it, reject it. As do many members of the human race. Let it be clear to us. Allow Your Spirit to reveal, illuminate this love to us. Put into us this desire to have this love flow through. That when the world sees our love, they will not see us, but they will see Your Son. In His precious name we pray. I'm sorry.